In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Luther's Small Catechism, the meaning of the fifth commandment, you shall not murder, is explained this way. We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. The question is, but who is my neighbor? That's the question the lawyer asked of Jesus in today's gospel reading. His first question, however, was, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, we know that he did not ask that question sincerely. He probably thought he had eternal life sewed up and put in his pocket. We're told he stood up to put Jesus to the test, to tempt him, because the Greek word for test and tempt is the same word. Jesus referred him to the scriptures, to the law of Moses. He said to him, okay, you're a law, you're an expert in the law of God. What is written in the law? How do you read it? And the lawyer answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to the lawyer, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. I think it was, you shall love your neighbor as yourself that maybe convicted the lawyer, this expert in God's law. Scribe is another term for him. But at any rate, Luke tells us that he was desiring to justify himself, that is, prove himself right, specifically prove himself righteous before God. So he said to Jesus, he asked Jesus that question with which we began, and who is my neighbor? And then Jesus proceeds to tell a rather scandalous story, a story that would have been scandal in the eyes and ears of many Jews of that day, because the hero of his story was a Samaritan. And Samaritans and Jews did not get along. There was an ancient enmity between them. If a Jew went into Samaritan territory, when he re-entered Jewish territory, he would shake the dust from his feet before stepping in onto Judean land or Galilean land, because he did not want to carry any pollution from those awful Samaritans into God's own land. So you've got to understand that. And what I'm going to do today is briefly update this parable and maybe put it in terms that we can grasp more easily. And also, so that we may ourselves be scandalized by the way the story plays out. So let's do it this way. A certain elder pulled into the parking lot at Mount Olive Lutheran Church, for there was an elders' meeting that day. This elder, let's call him Randy, just, you know, off the top of our heads, got out of his vehicle and was walking toward the conference room when he happened to see a big limb that had fallen off of a tree in the previous night's rainstorm. So Randy went over, picked up the limb, and he was going to toss it aside where it couldn't be seen. But unfortunately, he got into a yellow jacket's nest. And the yellow jackets were none too pleased with his presence there. They swarmed out of the nest. They were all over him. And Randy has always been susceptible to bee stings. Before too long, Randy collapsed. He was going unconscious. His throat was starting to swell, and he was in dire and desperate straits. Well, along came the pastor of this church for the elders' meeting. He loved elders' meetings. He hated to miss a single one. Attending meetings was the high point of his ministry as a pastor. He just loved it. It was a few minutes past the time the meeting was to begin, and on his way into the church, he looked over and saw this person collapsed on the ground. Just a drunk, he thought to himself. And he hurried on into the elders' meeting. Then came the head elder. He too got out of his car, and he too saw the person lying there in the bushes, collapsed, not moving. Probably someone high on drugs, he thought. And he too went into the elders' meeting. And then someone cutting through the church parking lot from Mount Olive Road to Highway 10 happened to glance off to his right and saw this poor, crumpled up figure lying there next to the bushes. And he wondered, what's wrong with him? Do you want to know who this person was? It was an undocumented alien. And he looked and he saw Randy there. And he felt compassion toward him. I wonder what's wrong. So he got out of his vehicle and he rushed over to where Randy was lying on the ground. Now this is, no particular Randy. And he brushed the few yellow jackets off of Randy that were still on his clothes and crawling on his arms and legs. And then he happened to have an EpiPen on him because he too was allergic to bee stings. So he injected Randy with the EpiPen and Randy revived. And then this undocumented alien loaded Randy into his car and took him to the emergency room where he could get the care that he needed. Meanwhile, back at the elders' meeting, the pastor and the elders are thinking and discussing, how can we reach out to others with the love of Christ? How can we show our neighbors that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, and reach these neighbors with the gospel message? And they concluded their meeting with a prayer. And as they walked out to their cars, the head elder, not naming any names here, and the pastor noticed that whoever it was that was lying there in the bushes, drunk or strung out on drugs, was gone, and they were relieved, because that person would no longer be any trouble to them. Thus ends the story. Who is my neighbor? Well, the proper question is, how can I be a neighbor to others? Because the Samaritan in Jesus' parable showed himself to be a neighbor to this poor Jewish merchant who had been set upon by thieves, who had stripped him and beat him and left him for half dead. You know, the Jews would have thought, the Jews hearing his story would have thought, here comes a priest. He's going to help this man. But he didn't, did he? And then, well, here comes a Levite, a temple assistant. He's going to help this man, but he didn't, did he? And then along comes this Samaritan, a hated Samaritan, someone who was an enemy of the Jews, and he showed compassion upon the man who had been beaten up and left half dead. And he bound up his wounds, he poured on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And he gave the innkeeper 2 denarii for the man's room and board and said, take care of him. And if you spend anything more caring for him, when I come back, I'll pay you. So which of these three, Jesus asked the lawyer, do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And notice the lawyer's answer. He could not say the Samaritan. All he could say was the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. Why do we as Christians show mercy to others? Why are we to love other people? It is because God in Christ Jesus, our Savior, has shown His mercy to us. Mercy that we in no wise deserved, because Scripture says that we were by nature enemies of God. Scripture says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Scripture says, we love because God first loved us and gave His Son for us as an atoning sacrifice for us. That's why we show mercy and love and compassion to others. Because God has acted first. We don't do these things to inherit life eternal. We inherit life eternal because the Holy Spirit has brought us to faith in Christ. And we show that we are alive in Christ by loving and caring for others, whoever our neighbor may happen to be. And neighbor here could be understood as that person closest to yourself, in proximity, not emotionally. My brother and I drove up into the mountains yesterday, and we were ramping onto Interstate 40, and a person coming along, you know, had to slow down slightly as I was ramping on. He blew his horn, and then as he drove past, he extended to me the courtesy of his middle finger. I didn't cuss him back or anything, but he was not showing himself a neighbor to me, particularly since I hadn't done anything wrong. That slow cashier at the grocery store, first day on the job and you're having to wait, you've got to be somewhere and you're mumbling and grumbling against that person in your heart, that person is your neighbor. Jesus says we are to love our enemies. We are to pray for those who despitefully use us. And certainly that is what Jesus did for us on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Who is our good neighbor? Not State Farm, or is that State Farm like a good neighbor? No. Jesus, who took upon himself our flesh and blood so he could be a neighbor to us. So, out of his sufferings and death could come life and renewal and wholeness for us. So we could receive his healing gifts and word and sacrament. And here we are in the inn of the church. And Jesus has left for us, again, his saving word. Our baptism into his death and resurrection is an ongoing thing. Not that we have to return every Sunday and be rebaptized. There is no such thing as rebaptism. But our baptism endures for this life and unto eternal life. And Jesus has left us the healing sustenance of his body and his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, and also to equip us to love God and love our neighbor. We do none of these perfectly, of course, but Jesus' atoning, saving death was perfectly accomplished for you, for me, for all of your family members, for the undocumented alien, for others you might not think too highly of. Jesus died for all people. And he doesn't have a checklist saying, well, what's your income level? I'll give you forgiveness. Where do you live? What do you drive? What job do you work at? What political party do you belong to? None of that. Jesus died for all. And recognizing that in our daily vocations, we are called to serve God by serving our neighbor and to show forth love for God by loving our neighbor. So let's put a law spin on this. Who proved to be a neighbor to the man stung by yellow jackets? Well, the undocumented alien who showed him mercy. You go and do likewise, because Jesus did likewise for you first. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.